B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, final hour here on a reentry Monday. It's presented by East Boston Savings Bank on Felger and Mads. Still brought to you by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub, and the simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. I know a lot of you are listening to us online. The app, 95thesportshub.com, your smart speaker. You can catch us on all those devices. We'll get back to your thoughts. We spent a lot of time on the match with Brady on Sunday. That's how we began the show. We'll circle back to that. The return of the NHL, which has just been announced. Some NFL rule changes. The 4th and 15 instead of the onside kick we hit on before, and some of what the NFL is going to look like when it returns. No huddles. No stretching formations in practice, potentially, these things. We can talk about that. Anything that you want will be on the table. We'll start off this hour, though, with Maz's Rodenheiser take. Go ahead, Maz.
Yep, just quickly, Mike. Hot sports takes brought to you by Rodenheiser Home Services. Go to Rodenheiser.com to learn more. Just quickly as a follow-up on this MLB proposal to the union, because I just want to try to explain it quickly in terms that the average fan could understand. Okay, let's just say you got 10 players in baseball. One of them makes $39 million. The other nine make $1 million combined. Okay, so altogether it's $40 million, even though 39 of it's going to one guy. The average salary is $4 million. This is how the union operates. So they want the highest paid player making 39, 90% of its constituency. The other nine guys could go to hell. They're only going to make combined $1 million, but they get to tell the world our average employee makes $4 million, even though 90% of it is making less than that number. So under this scenario, MLB has gone to the union and say, no, this is how we're going to get our money. Your highest paid guys are going to give us a little bit more, and the bottom guys we're not going to touch because they're making less anyway, and we still get the same amount of money back. And the union said no. So if you're a low-paid player in MLB, you should be pissed about this. Like, I'd be looking at it saying, wait a minute, you're telling me Mike Trout hasn't made enough money? You got to come after the, you know, utility infielders and 11th and 12th guys on the pitching staff? You got to come after me for my money when Mike Trout's making $36.5 million a year? And as you noted, this is why the owners did it this way, because they want those lower paid guys to get pissed off and create division within that union.
Okay, so that's on the table as well. We also talked about the end of Geisterspiel. No more ghost games in the Bundesliga, which is just another sign that fake crowd noise is coming your way. Coming your way domestically here in the U.S. for Stanley Cup playoff games, NBA playoff games, Major League Baseball games, NFL games. It's coming. Fox
News. Email ABC Sports and tell them you're going to watch the game, but you're not going to listen to the audio until the horn stops.
And by the way, me and Ted Sarandis, outraged. Outraged. Your thoughts. Brandon in Boston. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, Mike, I'm in agreement with you. I think it's just the first notch in sort of a ridiculous, you know, presentation that
right.
networks are going to put on. I mean, first we start with, you know, pumping in fake crowd noise, then we can do, let's CGI the fans into the stands. I mean, it's too much. Like you said, you stated it perfectly. We're horny for sports. And, you know, seeing what the UFC is doing with, you know, no audio and sort of hearing what's going on in the octagon, it's fascinating and it's raw. And I just, you know, give it to me raw. I need
give it to me.
For the raw sports. I'll take anything.
Brandon, give it to me raw, baby. Give it to me raw. And you're right about the slippery slope. The slippery slope. So now, okay, there's no crowds in the fans, and there's no fans in the crowd, so we're going to fake it. Well, what about when the fans do come back and the Cleveland Indians can only draw 5,000 people and Jacobs Field is empty? Well, let's bump this up a little bit. Give us some audio here. It'll sound better for all the Nimrods out there who need their senses overloaded every second of every day and can't just handle a real representation of what's going on. So, oh, the building's half empty? You know, in 5 years, building's half empty? Let's raise that level a little bit to make it sound like there's someone there, because no one can handle reality.
Well, that's silly. They hadn't done that before. This isn't a slippery slope. You're being drastic for drastic's sake. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, the other thing is, you know, you're not going to get it raw. That's sort of the whole point, is you think that when they actually start to play these games, they're going to give you the noise like they do in the UFC? You're not going to get the natural sound. Because there's going to be too much insanity going on down there and swearing and everything. They're going to block it all out.
I'm I'm not talking about players being mic'd, but I can more than handle an NHL game where I just hear the skates going into the ice, the swooshing and the puck against the boards and the slap of the puck against the stick and someone getting checked up against the boards. I can handle it, even if it means more effing Pierre Maguire. I can handle it because that's actually what's happening. I don't need the fakery.
I do. I want the constant audible fan element in the background. Just the...
Chris, and go ahead, Chris and Worcester. What do you got?
Hi, guys. Hi. Thanks for taking the call. Two things. Congratulations, NHL. I hope it works. Good way to start the slope going the right way. I want to talk about the match. I thought it was really good. I look forward to it. I talked to Murray and Maserati on Friday about it. They were not so excited about it. And I'm surprised that they're talking about it. I didn't know what your open was. But anyway, I love the match. I liked how the guys were mic'd up. And I thought Mickelson and Peyton Manning shined more so than Brady and Tiger guys.
Chris, I'll just reset the match thoughts. I surprised myself with how much I liked it and how much I watched of it. I guess you said that you two said you weren't looking forward to it over the weekend and you wouldn't be watching it. I felt the same way. I'm like, I'm not going to watch no stinking exhibition with a bunch of grab ass. You know me, I ain't into grab ass. So it's like, this is going to be one big grab ass session. Like, I don't need any of this. And then I found myself in front of a TV at 3:30 or something. I came into a little late, couple holes into it. And I sat down to watch it, and that TV stayed on that channel for about the next 4.5 hours. And I watched most of the whole thing. And I thought it was terrific. I surprised myself how much I liked it. Now, I think most people agree. Most people felt it was a good product. The ratings were a record. The single highest golf rating on cable ever, including U.S. Open, Masters, any golf event that appeared on cable yesterday, or Sunday rather, was the highest rated ever. The question is, why? Is it just because we're so horny for sports and it was just the only thing? Is that why? Or was there something more to it that made it gripping, Maz?
Well, so look, again, I think part of it is that we're horny for sports. We're looking for anything competitive, but it also has to be the right personalities. And I told you this, if it had been Brett Favre instead of Brady, I'm not sure I would have watched. But with Brady in there, and now you're talking Tiger, Brady, and along with Manning, who's got some personality, I disagree with what the caller said again about Mickelson. I think Mickelson's a tool bag. I cannot tolerate Phil Mickelson. Every time he opens his mouth, I just want to shut him up because it just feels like blather to me. But the rest of it, I thought it was great. I mean, I did. Once I sat down, I had a hard time getting up, and then the next thing I know, it's like 16 holes in, and I turned to the rest of my family yesterday. I said, well, I might as well watch the last end of it now. This thing, we'll see how it shakes out. So it sucked me in. It absolutely did.
So I think it was just beyond the fact that we're horny. You know, certainly that made it a record, okay? I don't think if that was going opposite against NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, Major League Baseball, you know.
The regular slate is happening. It doesn't get the rating that it gets.
It doesn't get the record rating. But I still think it would have been a good product, and I still think it would have been a good watch, because that's what I think it was. I think it was those things, and I think it was a good product and a good watch because, one, it was people I care about, and, you know, we all know the personalities involved. We're all invested in them. We've all come to know them for all their strengths and weaknesses, all four of them, and so that was really important, and I think golf, that sport in particular, has way too many guys no one cares about. No one, even the best of the best, no one cares about Jordan Spieth and Brooks Koepka. No one cares about those guys. No one cares. And so that's why I think that sport suffers. All four of those guys, Tiger and Phil, are probably the two, you know, biggest personalities, if you will, figures, Q rating guys that are left in golf. And so those were the two golfers, and then the two NFL players are self-evident. And I thought the second thing is that it was real. It was relatable because Brady sucked so bad. That was, I think, a huge draw. Mr. Perfect. Mr. Perfect himself. He doesn't poop Tom Brady. He's so perfect. He doesn't defecate. Could not lift the ball off the ground. Every other ball was out of bounds, in the hazard, from one part of the trap to the second part of the trap. The sequence that we've all had as weekend golfers, skull chili dip, chunk skull, he chunks one up against the green and then skulls it across the green the next play. He's in his pocket every other hole. That was amazing. That was fun. Like, boy, Tommy, you suck. What's up with you? Like, that was fun. And then when he drains the shot from 110 yards out and starts to make some plays, I find myself going, all right, let's go, Tommy. Let's see this. Let's see Tommy Brady here. It's go time. And I found myself sort of rooting for him, or that whole story of Brady. And like, even in on his worst day, on his the sport that's not his, it's like you still saw the glimmer in his eye and a little something there. And I thought that whole arc was tremendous. It had me. It gripped me.
Yeah, not me. I was rooting against him the whole time. I don't care if he's holing wedges or knocking in eagle putts or whatever. And when he started leaving, you know, when he left a putt short late, I got, yeah, there we go. Like, now, nice to feel the heat air a little bit, isn't it, Brady? So that's sort of how I was more vindictive about it. But I admit, I found the thing entertaining because he did. He sucked. Boy, was that was enjoyable to watch that and say, he sucks worse than I do.
But I thought that he and Manning were perfect for that format in terms of they're both really good golfers, but because that course is so freaking hard, the pressure is so big having to play in front of cameras and millions of people, and the guys they're playing with are so brilliant that they look like they suck. Like you know, people mocked Brady for his 8.1 index, his, you know, 8 handicap. It's not really... The index is different than the handicap. I bet his handicap on that course is probably a 10 or 11 because that course is freaking impossible. And people are saying he's not an 8. I think he's an 8, or he was. He certainly has been in his life, for sure. But he looks so crappy out there because of all conditions. But yet, he still made some brilliant golf shots, and right. So did Peyton Manning. And I think those two, with their identifiability, their name recognition, how well we know them, and the fact that they're good but not great golfers that had to be managed or coached was just sort of that perfect balance. You know, if they put two other golf pros in there, I wouldn't give two rat's asses about it. I wouldn't. Tee to green, fairway, green, like nothing there. But with Manning and Brady, you had to manage, you know, you had to manage their game, and you didn't know.
Yeah, that's right.
You didn't know what was coming one shot to next. Are you going to scull it into the marsh, or are you going to stripe it 200 yards down the fairway? You didn't know what was coming shot to shot, and I think that was compelling. And I thought it was a home run all the way around. I thought the production crew, Turner, did a really good job. I thought there was value add with the guys they brought on the phone, from Barkley, of course, to Koepka, and the way they mic'd them into their ears and bantered back and forth. I thought the whole thing was terrific.
I mean, the players were flawed enough where it was unpredictable. You didn't know what they were going to do with any shot because it's capable of shanking it into the woods. And I have to admit, as much grief as I give Brady, and, you know, and factoring in the cause and everything else, it was like they were on the back nine and it started pouring. It was coming down in sheets. And I remember thinking, you know what? Good for these guys for just kind of grinding through it and doing it. And it's for a good cause, but they played right through it. And to their credit, they stuck it out and went the whole 18.
But make no mistake, Brady sucking was the original draw, was the initial draw of this thing. And that's what sucked you in, is that he blew. He was slapping it around out there. If Brady had gone one over par in the first 7 holes and was fairway green par, it's like... I'm not watching this, but I'll watch Brady reach into his pocket every third shot because he's chucked one into the marsh. Like, that I'll watch, and him seethe. Ooh, you knew it pissed him. He was so pissed. He's so competitive. He cares so much, and he knew the cameras were on him, and, you know, he just wants to win every stupid little game that he plays. That I do believe about him, and I knew how pissed he was. Like, that was fun. Like, that's what drew you in. And if they come back the next time and the golfers are too good, it's a mistake. It's not going to work the same. It's got to be people we know about, care about, can identify with, but can either, you know, kill it or suck it. Like, that's got it. And they got to be managed along by the pro who's next to them. And I think that was the perfect balance, and that's why it was so good. So that's your thought on the match. Caller, we'll get to your phones on everything right after this.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mere copper? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay him.
A 98.5 to Sports Hub.
Hey Tom, it's Chuck. If you hit the green, I'm gonna give $25,000 out of my own pocket.
Chuck, you're amazing. Chuck, you got any swing tips for me? I'm struggling.
Hey brother, listen, I'm not that guy you need tips from. But I'm gonna donate. Now you know what, Tom? Because you're my man. $50,000 if you hit the green.
Wow, Chuck, that's awful nice of you, man. Nice going. What was that, Chuck? $300,000? Did you say? Remind me?
You know, a little $50,000.
50, that's it.
I want him to hit the green, too. I really do.
See if Tom Brady can get into Chuck's pocket here a little bit.
Come on. Chuck, you save yourself $50,000.
Oof. You know, Tom, that was. I should have just said if you can just keep it on the planet.
Hey, when's football season start?
About a month.
Oh, I'm ready.
I'm going to be in Florida for a month. I'll stop by.
Good. Come join me.
Watching Tom Brady suck was compelling, and it was enjoyable for a little bit. Again, and I found myself rooting for him, too. Like, when I thought he was going to turn it on, that got really interesting. I like that, too. I went both sides on that. Make no mistake, to me, that's what was compelling. It's like I said before. You know, you like watching perfect people fail at golf or maybe even other things. You like seeing your friends get fat. I mean, don't deny it. You're good friends, you know, people you love, people you grew up with, but your buddies. When some of them puts on weight, ooh, you like it, don't you? It's like, oh, you're getting a little fat there, buddy, huh? Aren't you? You put on a few, makes you feel better about yourself. Like, oh boy, he's getting fat. So you sort of root for your friends to get fat. You root for perfect people to chuck it into the pond because they're so perfect. Like, it's, you sort of have that sort of vicarious thing going on there, and that was definitely going on there. I thought in the first whatever 9 holes of that thing yesterday. I mean, Brady wasn't good all day, I thought. I mean, again, he sort of straightened out a little bit on the back, rolled in a big putt on the back. He also missed a big putt on the back. But I thought he swang like a pansy. Can I say that? Is that a bad word nowadays?
No, he sucked. And again, he didn't carry a driver in his bag. Make sure you get that right, or the Patriots fans get all upset about it.
Wouldn't hit
a
driver.
He didn't have one in
day.
His bag. He didn't pack a driver, which is idiotic when you're playing a team format. Who doesn't carry a driver? But that aside, like, he really, it was two shots, Mike. It was two shots. Outside of that, he sucked.
Sucked.
You know, one was the wedge that he holed, and the other was the putt that he made for the eagle and the one where Mickelson drove the green. Other than that, forget it. I thought he was garbage, and I loved every second of it.
Oh, and the way he swung, it's like I mean, again, I'm not like I'm the swing doctor or anything, but boy, he was trying to smooth everything. Like, Tom, bear down. Attack the freaking ball, will you? And the one that went in was one of the few that he attacked. I mean, what a shot again. The mic, his mic pack, you know, the it goes flying behind him, like, because he attacked it. Yeah, half the time, he's just trying to smooth the thing out there. How many times did he push the ball right into the marsh, for crying out loud? So, but that was fun. I enjoyed it. Okay, how about you? This NHL playoff format, whatever you want. Brian in the car has a thought on the NHL returning. Go ahead, Brian.
So the note that caught my eye in terms of the new format they're using for this year is they're saying that the top four teams in each conference are going to play a seeding round robin tournament, meaning that the Bruins, even though they had the best record all year, could even finish as low as fourth in the East, depending on how they finish in this thing. Which, going back to Cassidy's thing at the end of the year, he said, you know, I just want to be treated fair and take what we did in the regular season to have merit. And I just think it's, I guess you could look at it two ways. It could be a positive for the Bruins because it requires them to come out and, you know, kind of turn the energy up right away. But it does kind of sound like they're getting a little bit of a raw deal, possibly.
Okay, so I didn't hear this. Murray, do you have anything on that?
No.
Okay, so
I think that last I saw, that was still to be determined, whether those games were going to actually mean something or not. I think that was still to be determined.
Well, that was before today, so I don't know if Gary Bettman mentioned that, but while the bubble teams, quote-unquote, are playing that little play-in round, you're going to play a round-robin against the teams with a bye. And it's only to be determined whether that affects your seed up top as well. So I don't know if the caller heard something we didn't or not. I don't know. I'm not. I usually need an overnight and the newspaper to come out for me to get all the details right. But if that's the case, it could potentially screw them. I mean, what I had heard is that they were also going to factor in what your regular season record was as well. So it'd be some sort of combination of the original points you had on the board in combination with what you do in this little round robin. So I don't think they all start from scratch. I had not heard that proposal.
So apparently I'm reading just on the fly here. Bettman did say regular season points percentage comes into play in the event of a round robin tie.
Okay.
I'm reading from this guy here. It says, in other words, it sounds like if a team like the Flyers goes 3-0 in that little turn in the round robin, they would be the one seed in the East, even though they were 11 points behind the Bruins at the time of pause. I don't know. We're going to have to hear all this audio from Bettman.
We'll straighten it out as we get going, as the details become available to us. Matthew in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that I think the Bruins are going to get hosed with this bye. Think about the Leafs coming off a seven-game series against Columbus, all oiled up. And Bruins are going to be walking around with it in their hands in the first series.
So,
I mean, I think this is so detrimental to them.
Okay, I don't. Because, so, what would you rather? Would you rather come right out of the chute with a elimination playoff series? Like, right out of the chute, boom, here's a five-game elimination series playing for your playoff lives. Or would you rather have three or four games that you can do whatever you want with? You can go hard, you can go soft, you can play with line combinations, you can treat them as a playoff game if you want to get yourself ready. And again, I know you can't replicate the real thing, but you know, you can go all out or not go all out. I'm sorry. I think I'd rather play that little round robin that the Bruins are going to play versus a five-round elimination series. What are you, crazy?
I mean, definitely. And again, the Tampa Bay Lightning think they're getting hosed, and they'll end up behind the Bruins. And so, you know, or could end up behind the Bruins. The fact is, you're better off easing your way in. You are. And at least in some, and if you're playing for anything, you're playing for a bye, or you're getting the bye, for crying out loud. You're just playing for a top seeding as opposed to those other teams that could be eliminated.
Well, and let me
stop your bitching already.
Exactly. If the apocalypse never happened, you face something similar anyway as a number one seed. The number one seed is coasting for weeks, and the eight seed, the team that you're playing, and I know it would be divisional play, so it's the fourth seed or whatever, but it's the last seed. They're fighting for their playoff lives for the last 2 weeks, and so they come in oiled up, and you come in having rested. That's what happened to Tampa last year. So that's, you're going to face that as a top seed either way, whether there's the pandemic or not. So don't overthink the thing. The only way the Bruins get screwed is if they have to face Montreal in the first round, because they will lose that series. Because Montreal's Montreal, and you are still you, and you will get porked by Montreal. That's the only way they get screwed. But that's really their own fault. We continue with your thoughts after Murray's update. Here's the latest.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You can listen to Felger and Mazz on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tell y'all what, man. I want Tom Brady. I ain't gonna lie.
But good in the air. Really tasty.
Hey, Tom, how many shots you want? This Chuck. Come on, man. I'm gonna give you some shots, man. I want
all
some
right.
of you.
Gotta get going.
Chuck, I've been focusing on football, bro. I'm trying to win a Super Bowl. Man.
Ready to dominate.
Got it'll turn on. Don't worry, it ain't over yet. Ain't over yet.
I think you just made him mad, Chuck.
Oh no, I love it though, man. He can take a joke.
Oh, go in! Oh my goodness!
You made it!
Wow!
Chuck, take a second.
Are you kidding me? Wow.
Hey, yeah. hey.
Chuck.
Hey, man.
Chuck.
I got, that's
Chuck.
Awesome.
Shut your mouth, Chuck. Take a little of that medicine. Get your butt out of here.
Hey.
Wow.
That's what I needed.
Sauce isn't back in the hole.
Hey, way to get $100,000 for Brooks Koepka.
What a
Thanks,
tasty
baby.
Mortal.
Brooks, take wow. Brooks, how about that? Hey, can I say a few things?
Please, you got the floor, Tom.
I haven't hit a good shot in 8 holes, so I'd like to speak for a little bit. Everyone get comfortable at home.
Yes. The floor is yours.
I love you very much.
The floor is yours.
My wife, my kids, I love you.
I don't even know.
This has been a Peyton.
Come over and give you a little.
You got an all or nothing guy.
Yeah. Hey, my wife, I love you. My kids, I love you.
Thank you. You got
Thanks, baby.
Great
Jack,
job, brother.
I hope you're watching. When the going get tough, the tough get going, boys.
And when Charles Barkley starts throwing some shade, TB12 responds.
Brooks owes me a little money.
Yes, he does. Brooks Koepka said even a par on this front nine, $100,000.
Come on, baby.
That's awesome, man.
We're not out of it yet.
Awesome.
Okay, what was that?
That explains why he's the GOAT.
Two.
Birdie four for Tom.
So there was the big moment yesterday. But at the very end, it sort of says the whole story. Brady holes out from 110 yards and says, so wait a minute, what was that? I was in the marsh, drop. I think he still sucked up until that shot. It was only for a birdie four. It was only for a half. But anyway, there was that big moment yesterday in the match. Real quick, before I go back to the phones for one final segment of your wonderful thoughts, we have sort of figured out the NHL playoff format. The round robin for seeding in the first round that the Bruins will play is binding. In other words, the Bruins had the best record in hockey by far going into the break, by far the best record in the Eastern Conference, but they could be as low as the 4 seed after this little play-in. Okay, so there's a round robin among the 4 bye teams. The 4 bye teams are Boston, Tampa, Washington, Philly. Each will play each other once, so you have 3 games. Whoever comes out of that with the most wins will be the 1 seed. The second most will be number 2, or it's points. This is going to be regular season rules. So I guess there's going to be overtime and shootout, like the whole
Correct.
Thing. Correct. Okay? So those will be like basically regular season format, and they'll rank them 1 to 4 after everybody plays each other once. So 3 games. There's going to be ties, right? Meaning there's going to be teams that end up with the same amount of points. The tiebreaker will be your regular season winning percentage. Okay? So, that's where that comes in. Now, is that screwing the Bruins that they could be the 4 seed?
Potentially.
Why? Yeah,
that's not that great.
Well, so look, based on the round, based on the round robin, you'd say, yeah, except I would tell you this, that, you know, first of all, don't suck in the round robin. You know what the rule is going in. If there's a tie, you're going to benefit from it. And it's the NHL playoffs. You're going to get home ice in the first round. You're not going to get a lamb no matter what.
There's no home ice. There's no home ice.
Right, yeah, exactly.
What are you talking about? It's not like you have to go to some hostel.
That's a good point.
No home ice. You're playing in Columbus or wherever.
Correct.
Like, so please, it makes no difference to me. I'm trying to figure out the difference.
Well, the difference is you could end up playing, if Pittsburgh ends up being that 5 seed, you could play them in the first round.
Okay, if you're the 4. Okay, so this is the way it works right now. The 1 seed plays the winner of Toronto-Columbus. I'll take that winner. If you're the 2 seed, you face the winner of Islanders-Panthers. I'd like the Panthers. I wouldn't be so keen on the Islanders. That would be a freaking grind. The 3 seed would play the winner of Carolina, the Rangers. I'd like that one. I'd take either of those teams.
I don't care about.
Rangers are dangerous, but I'd take that matchup. And then the 4 seed faces the winner of Pittsburgh, Montreal.
Well, you're going to crap your pants if that happens.
I want nothing to do with that, Matt.
You don't
want to
be the 4 seed.
So don't be the 4 seed. Now, I feel like people are going to complain on either side. We just got a call that said, well, wait a minute, this isn't fair. The team you're going to play is all oiled up after playing a playoff round, and you'll be playing for nothing. So people are going to complain if you're playing for nothing. Now it turns out you're actually playing for something.
Correct. Stop your bitching.
You're playing for seeding, so you'll be all loyaled up too. Right? That's what you want. Well, that's not fair. Now they could be the 4 seed. Well, so is it just stop bitching? Bitch. 617-7, bitch. Bitch.
Yeah,
bitch,
right. Bitch away.
Keep bitching. I don't mean to say that. But what I mean is, I don't think it really matters. I don't think it really matters. The only thing I care about, because I'm effed in the head as a lifelong Bruins fan, unfortunately for you, yes, little Mikey Felger in his little footy pajamas as a 6-year-old boy in Milwaukee was a Boston Bruins fan, so I'm stuck with the Bruins and you're stuck with me. As a lifelong Bruins fan, I want nothing to do with Montreal. because this is just the kind of situation where Montreal beats you. When they have no business even being in the thing, they get gifted into the playoffs because it's the apocalypse. And the next thing you know, you draw them in the first round and Carey Price gets hot and they bounce you. That feels to me so Boston-Montreal, I can't even think straight. And then Montreal wins the lottery and gets to draft fourth overall or something like that. Like that I feel is coming. Okay, but Montreal's the only team I really, really want to avoid. Other than that, historically, you match up very well with Pittsburgh. I don't mind Pittsburgh as a matchup. And I'm sorry, if you can't beat Carolina, the Rangers, the Islanders, the Panthers, the Leafs, or the Blue Jackets, you're not winning the cup anyway. The only team I really want to avoid is Montreal. That's the only team, and that's for historical, you know, effed in the head reasons, not practical reasons.
And Mike, at this stage, at least based on the stories that I'm reading right now, they still haven't decided whether they're going to reseed or go bracket.
Right. So, correct,
so the point is, that as of today, we don't know what the benefit is of finishing first versus fourth. You have no idea what that is.
Okay, so there you go. There's that. Your phones. Let's try and zip through these. Mike and Attleboro. Hi, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Maz, just a friendly correction. Brady definitely had a driver in his bag because he used the two clubs when he had when he went OB on fourth hole, whatever, when he was in the marsh.
So, point. No, go ahead.
Go ahead, Phil.
Well, no, I was ragging on him before for not playing driver all day long, pussing out with that fairway driver that he kept pushing into the marsh. And then a Brady Bobo called up and said, well, yeah, I guess you didn't know he didn't even carry a driver in the bag. So I guess somewhere in the broadcast they said he wasn't carrying a driver. Like, I don't know. I missed that part. All I know is he swang like a Sally most of the day. Sorry, Mike, go ahead.
No, and he was basically, when he was talking to the guy about, oh, how do I drop the ball when it's OB? The guy said use two clubs, so obviously get the driver because it's the longest club and something else. But anyway, second point is I'm disgusted with the MLB, the players' union, for not even just trying to come to some. You can always write in a CBA that, hey, this is not binding to anything else. This is only for this season alone, et cetera. Just get something on the TV, you know?
I'm telling you, I'm telling you, Mike and Maz. I think baseball's still going to come back. There's too much at stake for them not to. But they're going to make us hate them even more than we do in the process.
Right. Yeah, it is. I think they've already done damage to themselves throughout this whole process. It's hard to look at them amidst this whole thing while other leagues are talking about formats and we're bitching about what are the Bruins going to be, the first seed or the fourth seed. and meanwhile, they're still quibbling, bashing each other's brains in over how to split the money, which they don't even have as of right now, for crying out loud.
Pete and Weymouth, go ahead.
So we reach a rare take singularity with basically every host across both channels joining together to bash the players' union uncritically from the first rumblings of a possible labor dispute. And nobody ever asks the questions, what exactly is it that the owners are giving up?
So I'm not even sure what they're giving up. I mean, it's a fair point. I don't trust the owners either. But you got to pick a side, so I pick the owner's side. And I'll be honest, again, it goes back to the fact that they can't get the players to speed up the game, which is really all I care about. I really don't care, honestly, at the end of the day, what the baseball players make versus what the owners make. I hope the players can make as much as they can, honestly. And if it weren't for pace of play, and if it wasn't for the way the players, who, in my opinion, have completely dragged this game to a halt and ruined the game that I grew up with, if it weren't for that, I'd be on their side. But since they fight me on speeding the game up, then I'm going to fight them on everything else as well, and that's where I come from on this.
Okay, so look, at the end of the day, I think most of us feel that way, except when he says, what are the owners giving up? Well, they're giving up ticket revenue. That's what they're giving up. We all know that. They're giving up ticket revenue through no fault of their own, but that is something that this pandemic is going to cost them.
But I mean, what he's saying is we don't know what's really cutting into their profits, or if they're even,
sure,
you know, they're saying we're going to lose $4 billion, but are you losing $4 billion or are you making $4 billion less than you would have made? I mean, that's
right.
Are you still drawing a profit? We don't know any of that.
They're all hateable, but who's looked more bitchy?
The players.
Okay, but Mike, just do this logically. Based on the deal they have right now, the players get a set amount of salary, right? They all have contracts. And so if you cut that schedule in half, but you take fans away, should the players get half or less than half?
Less than half.
Okay. I mean, to me, it's that simple.
Yeah, well, no. I'm with the owners, but if I'm being totally honest, it really goes back to that pace of play thing. Chris in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, guys. Recommendation for round three. We've seen the athletes. We've seen the, the pros. I'd like to see a couple of actors in there, mainly for the entertainment, but, Bill Murray's a good golfer. I'd love to see him. I think he'd be a riot on the course. and maybe bring it back to another golf move, maybe Kevin Costner, or I don't think Adam Sandler golfs, but I'd like to see Happy Gilmore.
Okay, well, I'm going to stop you.
I disagree.
Give me too much. Why?
I couldn't give a rat's ass about movie stars. I couldn't give a rat's ass. Like what? I want to see Ben Affleck play golf?
Right. They
Who
do
cares?
Celebrity pro-ams anyway, and I never watch them.
No, I want someone who's a competitor. That's what I want. I want someone who's a competitor that I want to see put in an environment where he's not necessarily in his own arena, but he still has to compete. So if you wanted to tell me LeBron is an 8 handicap like Brady, fine. I'll take LeBron.
Hold on,
I couldn't give a rat's ass if it's Matt Damon.
You don't think some of those actors are competitive?
But even if they are, I don't care. I don't care.
So I disagree. I mean, it to me, it doesn't have to be athletes. I mentioned musicians before. I mean, Maz, I'm with you. It's got to be the right guy with the right makeup. He's got to be competitive. He's got to be good at golf, but not great. And I have to care about him. And when I say care about him, not that I care about Peyton Manning, but, you know, recognizable, identifiable. I know something about him. I do care about him to a degree. And I'm sorry, I think Ben Affleck would sort of fall in that category. Not that I'm the hugest Ben Affleck fan, but I think he's a degenerate. I think he might be a degenerate gambler. Isn't he?
You said Affleck, not Damon.
Affleck. Yeah, Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a big poker player, I think, right?
Big time.
I heard him say Bill Murray, and I winced. I'm like, I don't want to see Bill Murray in this effing thing. No way. Bill Murray can go pound sand, for crying out loud. I need to see him do his stupid Caddyshack impersonation. I want that. I'll rent the movie.
Well, so I don't need someone, you know, clowning around out there or acting out there, but I don't know. To me, that mix of pro golfer and then, you know, legit golfing celebrity worked for me. And it wasn't necessarily that it was Manning and Brady were football players. It was that they were identifiable and they were pretty good at the game, but not great. Not to the point where they couldn't be in their pocket on half the holes or needing to be managed. And I'll take an actor. I'll take an actor as long as he can play and he cares and doesn't go overboard. You're right. If Bill Murray's out there, you know, playing an act, I don't need that. Just like I don't need fake crowd noise.
Same. I want a serious athlete.
Okay. That'll conclude this portion of the program. We'll pick it back up tomorrow at 2. But coming up next, you don't want to miss the final word, the highs and lows of today's program.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. That would be nobody. All right, one piece of sound to get to here in the final word today. A lot of talk about the match, which was watched by millions and millions on Sunday afternoon. It also led to the smuggest caller.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe the smuggest caller in Felger and Maz history.
He's up. Paul in Somerville, your thoughts.
What golfer wasn't in that first match with Dustin and Rory? Which one wasn't? I can't remember. Which golfer wasn't there? And why do you think most people tuned in Sunday? Of the four, which one do you think most people tuned in to see? I mean, I know, Mike, I know you're a really morally upstanding guy. I know you hate Tiger because he's such a bad person.
So
I just want to know what you got to say.
Your tone has got me off guard, so I don't understand what you're implying. So you're saying it's all Tiger?
Well, what do you think?
I think that's a bigger draw than Rory McIlroy, for sure.
You know, on Friday, you know, Tony might have gotten you upset because he said that this was also said by Michael Wilbon. The three names over the last 50 years, the greatest, the people that will tune in to watch Ali, Jordan, Tiger. No, others are right there.
Paul, let me tell you that the Tiger Phil Mickelson thing didn't do nearly as well as that yesterday. So that was Tiger.
You mean a year ago?
Whenever that was. I don't even know when it was. Yeah. I didn't watch it.
Right, because it was a joke.
Because most people didn't.
Let me ask you a question.
Because Tiger's not really a compelling figure, Paul.
Well, no, you don't think he's a compelling figure?
Not really. This guy's tone, like right out of the chute there.
Oh, God, please. Yeah, geez, I don't know what his problem was.
He's not. He was the most boring guy of the four yesterday. There was two. That was the first call out of the gates. Yeah.
I've said for a while now, I'm so desperate and hard up for bars and restaurants to be open that I would be willing to sit next to someone like that. I changed my mind. After hearing that guy, that tone, which I haven't heard in a while, that kind of like, tell me, so what do you think? What do you think? Just tell me what you think, buddy, because I know you're going to tell me anyway. Right. I changed my mind. I don't need a bar that bad.
Guy was so condescending. I thought you were going to play the guy who got all bent out of shape at the fact that we suggested that Brady wouldn't hit his driver.
Oh, yeah, that guy, too.
Seriously. Never mind.
But it means sports are back because the bitches are out.
Right.
That's good, right? The whole hamster wheel starts spinning. You get the Bobos and the bitches and the trolls, and we're all back in there. You see, that's one little day of some sports. Meaning the Tiger, Phil, Brady, Manning thing. It's all it took to bring us all back out. Didn't it feel good?
Sports spring has sprung.
There it is. Yeah.
Don't be talking mess about Brady.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.